Our Old Testament lesson this morning comes from the prophet Isaiah, the 61st chapter, verses 1 to 4 and 8 to 11. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant to those who mourn in Zion, to give them a beautiful headdress instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the garment of praise instead of a faint spirit, that they may be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. They shall build up the ancient ruins. They shall raise up the former devastations. They shall repair the ruined cities, the devastations of many generations. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and wrong. I will faithfully give them their recompense, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them. Their offspring shall be known among the nations, and their descendants in the midst of the peoples. All who see them shall acknowledge them, that they are an offspring the Lord has blessed. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall exult in my God. For he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself like a priest with a beautiful headdress, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the earth brings forth its sprouts, and as a garden causes what is sown in it to sprout up, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to sprout up before all the nations. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. If you are able, please rise. The good news according to St. John. Glory to you, O Lord. The first chapter of John, 6 to 18 and 19 to 28. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness, to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. And this is the testimony of John. When the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" he confessed and did not deny, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" And he answered, "No." So they said to him, "Who are you? We need to give an answer to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord.' As the prophet Isaiah said, 'Now they had been sent from the Pharisees.'" They asked him, "Then why are you baptizing if you are neither the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?" John answered them, "I baptize with water, but among you stands one you do not know, even he who comes after me, the strap of whose sandal I am not worthy to untie." These things took place in Bethany across the Jordan, where John was baptizing. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Well, this morning, John the Baptist pops up in our Advent scripture readings again as we march toward Christmas. But even if you've had enough already about John the Baptist, you can't deny his importance. He was the advance man who prepared the way for Jesus. So here's a question. How can you be best prepared for the coming of Christ? Best prepared for Christmas. And before you formulate an answer, here's a hint. It has absolutely nothing to do with decorating. You know, some years ago now, I attended a conference where the keynote speaker was a guy named Tullian Chavijan, a grandson of Billy Graham. He's a bright guy with a somewhat checkered past who had some very interesting things to say. Reflecting on his youth growing up in the church, he observed, whether it was explicitly stated or strongly implied, The consistent message given to me at church was this: the Christian life is all about growth. It's about getting holier in my thinking, stronger in my commitment, and more righteous in my behavior, all for the purpose of becoming more acceptable to God. But Chavijan offered an interesting perspective, saying, that's not at all what the Bible says. The Bible makes it clear that Christian growth is not about becoming more holy, committed, and righteous. Instead, it's about becoming more and more aware of how sinful, uncommitted, and self-serving I am, and recognizing more clearly how holy, committed, and righteous Christ continues to be for me despite my failure. The Christian life is not all about my victory over sin. In fact, it's about recognizing that I'm a habitual sinner, fighting a losing battle against sin. But Christ has saved me anyway. The Christian life is a recognition of our complete dependence on Christ. Read Luke 18, 9 to 14. That's why St. Paul, who wrote almost half the New Testament and planted churches all over Greece and Macedonia, described himself as the chief of sinners. Read 1 Timothy 1:15. And he wrote, the good I want to do, I don't do. And the evil I don't want to do, that's what I keep on doing. Help me. Read Romans 7. Despite what is the popular understanding, Christianity is not transactional. It's not, you do this for God, and so God does that for you. It doesn't work that way. You can't earn God's favor. That's not how it works. And be forever thankful that it does not work that way. Believe me, none of us want to get what we've earned from God. Instead, we want to receive what we clearly do not deserve. We want to receive what God gives us freely as a gift out of His overwhelming compassion and mercy and love. You know, in all three of the synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, is recorded the incident involving a wealthy young man who approached Jesus asking, good teacher, what should I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus replied, well, you know the commandments. Do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, honor your father and mother. And the young man cut Jesus off, saying, Lord, all of these I've kept since I was a child. Well, just one thing you lack then, replied Jesus. Sell everything you own, give the money to the poor, and come and follow me. The young man was stunned. He turned and walked away because the rich young man couldn't do what neither you nor I can do. We can't earn heaven or anything else from God. We can't earn God's favor. We can't be good enough, generous enough, self-sacrificing enough, selfless enough. We can only receive God's favor as a gift, as an inheritance that God gives to us who belong to Christ. That's why we're called to be honest with ourselves, to see ourselves as we really are, sinners dependent on God's mercy, mercy that God pours down upon us who believe and are baptized into Christ, Christ who died as a blood sacrifice to atone for our sins. So, how can you be best prepared for the coming of Christ this Christmas? by recognizing the depth of your own sin. Take a look at John the Baptist. How did he prepare ancient Israel for the coming of Jesus? He administered a baptism of repentance. We've been talking about repentance this Advent season, talking about metanoia, the Greek word for repentance, meaning a change of mind or a change of thinking. And this is how we repent in preparation for the coming of Christ. We recognize the depth of our own sin and turn away from our self-righteousness, the self-righteousness that we love to indulge in. People prepared for the coming of Christ recognize their own failure, their own lack of victory over sin, and their complete dependence on Christ and the forgiveness that He gives to us. They recognize that their only righteousness is the righteousness Christ imputes to us who belong to Him. You know, we read a passage from Isaiah earlier. Along with John the Baptist, Isaiah is the go-to source when we anticipate the coming of Christ during Advent. That's because Isaiah prophesied the coming of Christ 700 years in advance, during one of the most dismal moments in the history of Israel. During a time of destruction and death and despair, Isaiah prophesied joy and victory and life. During a time of condemnation and devastating consequences, Isaiah prophesied God's forgiveness and salvation and the gift of righteousness credited to sinners like us, who have no righteousness of our own. And in Isaiah chapter 61, Isaiah said this, "I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall exult in my God, for He has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered up my sin with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself like a priest with a beautiful headdress, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels." As we anticipate Christmas, you can rejoice in the Lord. You can exult in our God because your sin has been covered up in the garments of salvation, in the robes of righteousness. Though you are sinful, Christ died for you. And you are forgiven. In fact, you are treasured by God. And Christ is coming. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, help us to grasp this idea of how dependent we are on You. And Lord, cause that to fill us with overwhelming gratitude. Overwhelming gratitude that spills out into kindness and caring for one another and all our neighbors. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.